Welcome to Behind the Headlines with me, Alex Richardson, on the 25th of April. We're going to be bringing you some of the stories that our reporters have been covering right across the country today, maybe bringing you some bits that you might have missed as well, or taking you further deep into stories. Coming up today, and we'll be hearing from people who are taking part in marathons this weekend, and footballer Ian Wright's part of a campaign to get people wearing seatbelts. First up, though, in last-minute preparations are underway as we count down to this year's London Marathon. I always try and get in, but I've never managed to get a place yet. I'd love to do it. Well, it's set to be a record breaker with the most participants taking part, beating the existing figure of 55,646 finishers, which was set by the New York Marathon last year. Well, our reporters have been busy covering some of the competitors' stories.
There's a saying that says that the hard work's the training, the marathon's the fun bit. So trying to approach Sunday with that bit in mind, that I've done the work and to try and enjoy the massive crowds, all the fun that goes around with it.
And so I went in and said to the teenagers group, what did they want me to dress up as? And I really hoped they'd say something like a princess or, you know, some kind of superhero. And everyone said, you have to run as a house.
Felt like it was meant to be, to do it this year. My son had some health issues back in 2024, so I wasn't really in the great place mentally, and running, training for this marathon has helped me just by getting out and sort of pounding the pavements.
Meanwhile, our reporter Amelia Sammons has been getting a bit of an insight from this marathon expert.
I'm known sort of affectionately as Blind Dave. I am 39 and 312 months old, and I do an awful lot of running, cycling. I've done some triathlons. I do a lot for or support the Albion Foundation as a charity. And as of today, we'll be running my 17th London Marathon, my last one, unfortunately, with my three daughters, which will be absolutely brilliant.
Oh, there's so much to like unpick there. But first of all, I want to ask you, what is the London Marathon like? What's the atmosphere like?
London is just incredible. I can remember my first one and I can remember bits of the others, you know, the first ones. But London, for me, and this is only my personal opinion, is the greatest London. It's the greatest marathon in the world. The camaraderie amongst runners is absolutely brilliant. The support from start to finish is incredible. It's just one of those runs for me. It's a carnival, not a run. It's just absolutely brilliant. And I've said this for years, if you could bottle the atmosphere from the London Marathon and then distribute it over the rest of the year, the world would be a much, much better place.
And it could be very warm for runners as well, with forecasters saying it could be 22 Celsius on Sunday. And now someone who's also going to be running this weekend is my colleague Stephanie Allison. But she's swapping the news desk for the Hills as she gets ready for an ultra marathon this weekend in Scotland. Rather her than me, to be honest. The 42-mile run is all in aid of our charity Cash for Kids. And she says around 600 people are taking part. Stephanie, are you expecting it to be busy?
What I've been told is that you fall into step with people and you chat for half an hour and then they go off, or, you know, you stop at your fueling station for water or whatever. But it's a really nice way to meet people, apparently, from different walks of life.
And tell us a bit more about the actual route as well.
You're running towards the Highlands and you have to go up the Devil's Staircase. This is a bit of a scramble. It's very steep and goes on for a couple of miles. So that is probably the bit I'm looking forward to least, because I hit that at mile 27.
And how have you found the training?
There have been mornings where I have not wanted to get up and run. It's been dark, it's been wet, hailstones on one occasion, but I have. I have done it for those who have supported me, those who have donated, but mainly for those wee people who need our help so much.
Well, good luck, Stephanie. A football story next, but a bit of a different one. Ex-Arsenal and England striker Ian Wright has joined the AA and Basingstoke Town on a mission to get everyone wearing their seatbelts. During tomorrow's match, players are going to be wearing a slightly different shirt. Our reporter Isabella Hudson has more on this story.
A simple yet life-saving action that 43% of young people who died in a crash last year didn't do. Well, in a bid to get everyone belted up, the Stoke will be sporting one diagonal stripe across the front of their shirts tomorrow, symbolising that belts should be across all of us in the car. Well, Ian's been explaining why it's so important we all wear our seatbelts.
Wearing a seatbelt reduces the risk of death by around 50%. It's the simplest thing you can do to protect yourself, whether you're a driver or a passenger, in the front or in the back.
We've spoken to the club chairman, Jack Miller, who says this message is clear.
It's sending a clear message, buckle up. It's a striking reminder of a seemingly small action that's got a huge impact.
The club is expecting their highest crowds of the season on their last game tomorrow, so they will be hoping that everyone comes away strapped with a greater appreciation for road safety.
Next, and a story that's been dominating our bulletins today, and a man from Plymouth has been jailed for life after stalking and murdering his ex-partner. Our chief reporter Andrew Kay has been following the case at Plymouth Crown Court.
53-year-old Paul Butler from Strangray Avenue later told police he was a monster as they finally caught up with him after a 24-hour manhunt. They found him barricaded in a hotel room. The day before she died, 48-year-old grandmother Claire Check told a confidant, "I wish he'd get on with it and put me out of my misery." In fact, she made the comment just hours before meeting police for a sixth time to raise concerns. We heard in the court here how he'd blocked the sale of her house, he'd put a tracker in her car, and she was becoming increasingly isolated from friends and family. In a victim impact statement, Claire's youngest daughter told the court here they should have been with their mother today, all together, listening to Butler being sentenced for stalking, not killing their mother. The police here are still being investigated for their contact with the deceased.
And there's a new campaign in Lincolnshire for drones to be used to help the ambulance service when responding to emergencies. The thinking behind it is things like EpiPens could arrive at the scene ahead of paramedics. Our reporter Cara Bostock's been finding out more.
So you may be used to seeing drones used in a park or for filming. But now a paramedic wants them to be used to carry defibrillators.
In a cardiac arrest situation, every minute that someone's down, the chances of survival drop by 10%.
Trevor Wayne works for East Midlands Ambulance in Lincolnshire. His idea would mean when a 999 call like this comes through.
Ambulance service, is the patient breathing? No, he's not.
An ambulance is urgently dispatched, but so is a drone. It will carry things like defibs, EpiPens and bleed kits, arriving at the incident ahead of the ambulance. Trevor says this could make a big difference.
Unfortunately, during cardiac arrests, members of the public aren't always confident, and we're hoping by having a clinician on the end watching and being able to communicate what's required, that's going to give people the confidence to be able to use that equipment efficiently before the ambulance service gets there.
Well, we asked the Civil Aviation Authority about this as they would have to approve it. They tell us trials with drones carrying emergency equipment are ongoing, and they're paving the way for new ways drones will improve everyday life.
And you can find out more on these and other stories on the news pages of our radio station websites. Don't forget to subscribe or come back here on Monday or listen on the Rayo app as well. A new episode of Behind the Headlines is uploaded every weekday evening.